Next.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The banks got the money they needed. The car makers got the cash they needed. So who might be next in line for a bailout? This morning, it looks like commercial real estate developers. They're asking for help because they have mountains of debt coming due. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Loans for hotels, office buildings, and shopping centers aren't like your average home mortgage. Commercial loans require big balloon payments and refinancing in 5 to 10 years. Foresight Analytics estimates that $530 billion worth of commercial loans will need to be refinanced from now to 2011. Many of those loans are for mall developers. Lewis Foreman works closely with retailers as CEO of Inventus. He says developers overbuilt and should pay the price.
The individuals who managed their business properly are the ones that ultimately should be successful, and not the ones who just overextended themselves and then the government stepped in and said, hey, we'll lend you a helping hand.
But developers say if they default on their loans, it'll be another blow to the financial system the government can't afford. The Wall Street Journal reports commercial property owners want in on a $200 billion program designed to backstop consumer loans. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
One thing to keep in mind about the bailout money, there is just no accountability for how it's being spent. The Associated Press asked 21 banks how they're spending their share, and not one of them gave specifics. They gave PR statements. We're strengthening our balance sheet. We're making loans. A spokesman for J.P. Morgan Chase said, we've lent some of it. We've not lent some of it. We're not giving any accounting of it to the public. And they don't have to because Congress didn't require that. Since it's Christmas week, we'll be a little light on the economic news. And that's just fine with me because it's been mostly bad anyway. This morning, Walgreens said its profits fell 10% short of expectations. And Toyota said it might have an operating loss for the first time ever. So far, the Dow is up about 6 points, just a fraction, to 85.85. The NASDAQ is down 14, and the S&P 500 is off 4. The Nikkei did have gains today, but stocks were lower in Asia elsewhere. European shares are down about 1% so far. I don't eat normal breakfast foods much because I work such strange hours. But sometimes I get a hankering for oatmeal. And I just learned that Jamba Juice will start selling oatmeal in January. And our reporter Mitchell Hartman is all over this story. He's at our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Starbucks introduced instant oatmeal at its stores this fall, and it's been a huge seller. Jamba's oatmeal, by contrast, is slow-cooked and organic and costs $2.95. Nancy Jansen owns Zell's Cafe, a neighborhood breakfast joint in Portland. She's not surprised by this latest menu brainstorm by the fast food chains.
People have always eaten oatmeal, and the chains are finally just catching on that it's a staple. It's a comfort food.
Comfortable on your wallet, Zell's serves a wicked oatmeal with raisins, walnuts, and brown sugar for just $4.50, and oatmeal's a lot cheaper for Zell's to make than the fancy omelets on the menu at double the price. Jansen's partner, Michael Gaines, says there's another reason people eat oatmeal.
Traditionally, Monday, we do a lot more oatmeal. I don't know if that's because people have been decadent over the weekend.
We're not sure about any post-indulgence health claims, but they do say it's good for your heart. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, December 22nd on Marketplace.org. There's a bank bailout underway in Ireland. The government is pumping more than $7 billion into the biggest banks there. From our European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Irish government is offering to inject the money into the three top banks in return for shares. There are strings attached. Among other things, the banks will be required to increase mortgage lending by 30%. but Irish property prices are falling sharply. Unemployment is rocketing. It's not clear how much demand there will be for the new mortgages. The government says the move will boost investor confidence. That confidence has been badly shaken. And not only by the property crash, there's been a scandal too. The chairman of one of the banks has just been forced out. He admitted receiving secret personal loans worth $120 million. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil has had a remarkable journey this year, from $60 to $147 a barrel, all the way back down to $42 this morning. The price is an important consideration for something that's coming up, end-of-year inventory for energy companies. Here's Sam Eaton.
It's an annual ritual in the oil and gas industry. Securities rules require companies to calculate how much of their reserves are economically feasible, and that's based on the price of oil and gas at year's end. The calculation is then used to estimate a company's value, so it's not exactly a time when energy companies want to see oil prices plunge. Fadel Gade is an analyst with Oppenheimer & Company.
It is a physical asset that has certain market value, and banks use it as a collateral, you know, for loans, as well as an indication of the financial viability of the company.
And oh, what a difference a year can make. The financial viability of energy companies at last year's $96 a barrel close looks a lot different from this year's lows. Gates says companies with high-cost portfolios like oil sands or deep water projects may find it harder to borrow or attract investors. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
This morning, we're set to get more detailed mortgage industry statistics. You've likely heard about people renegotiating their loans to save their homes, but it's not clear that it's actually working. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
A loan modification is a deal struck between a lender and a struggling homeowner. The mortgage rate can be lowered, the life of the loan can be extended, or unpaid principal can be written off. Hope Now, a nonprofit funded by the mortgage industry, says it's modified 2.7 million loans in the past year and a half. But those loan modifications have been criticized as ineffective. The U.S. Comptroller of the Currency says that within 6 months, half the homeowners go back into foreclosure. Hope Now Executive Director Faith Schwartz says the problem isn't loan modifications. It's the economy.
Last month alone, we had 500,000-plus jobs lost. There are probably many loans that were modified that will be in those jobs that may redefault.
More layoffs are expected over the holidays, and more redefaults. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The real Santa Claus has his job for life. But the people who play Santa, at the mall, for example, do much better when they don't have to put on a fake beard. Monica Brady-Myroff has that story.
From November 1st to December 25th, life is very, very busy for Jonathan Meath.
Want to hop up?
Can I have a pink Nintendo DS?
A pink Nintendo DS, yes.
And a game.
Meath is one of an estimated 2,400 working Santas with a real white beard and curly mustache. I caught up with him at a mall in suburban Boston.
It's a big commitment, 24/7. Maintaining the hairstyle and the jolly bowl of jelly takes considerable work.
He decided to portray Santa about 3 years ago after his beard went white and children would stop him on the street to ask him for presents. And this Santa doesn't just work for milk and cookies. He earns as much as $10,000 for an extended engagement in the chair, as it's called. Some bring down up to $40,000 a year. Employers such as Alex Atia of the Charles Hotel are willing to pay more for authenticity because kids are discerning customers.
If they have an inkling that maybe this is not Santa, they come to me and they ask me, is that the real one? With this one, they're not going to ask the question. I know that.
Real bearded Santas like to get together in the off-season and talk about beard care and red suit cleaning. One group of Northeast Santas is run by George Martin, who I reached on what he calls his sleigh phone as he was heading to a senior center.
You hear about the grumpy mall Santa, but I don't know any. Everybody is pretty much on the same mindset. We all really enjoy what we're doing. Otherwise, why do it?
To the practical businessman, though, it might not make sense to make yourself look like Santa year-round. But Meath says,
to the businessman that brings joy to his bottom line, that equates joy with value, It's immeasurable.
In the off-season, Meath produces children's television shows and sings jazz. And, of course, he has a Christmas album.
Kids, will you help Santa and the elves with this song?
Sure, Santa!
In Boston, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov for Marketplace.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming.
I'm sure the Federal Reserve has more tricks up its sleeve, but it seems to be about out of moves. Last week's interest rate cut to near zero leaves little room for much else.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan, we've been talking about the Fed all year. What else can they possibly do?
Well, years ago, in a speech that got Bernanke the unwelcome nickname of Helicopter Ben, he talked about combating deflation by throwing money out of helicopters. And I don't think we've chartered the helicopters, but they're throwing money now at everything. I wish they would throw some to me, if you get a helicopter and have several big bricks of currency land in my backyard, because that might make me whole for the year, considering how much money I've lost in the stock market.
Right. Well, we did see that the interest rate cut seemed to spill over in the housing market, the lowest mortgage rates on 30-year fixed since the 60s. So maybe we're starting to see the ice break a little bit?
That would be nice. But you and I have been having this conversation now for 15, 16, 17 months. I really want this to work because we need to stabilize the system and get these genius banks who lost hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars doing things they didn't understand to get them lending again. But we've done so many things. Sooner or later, something will work. I just hope it's sooner.
But we've heard numbers from the Fed itself that bank lending is actually at a record high. And based on some of the emails I've gotten from bankers, they're saying, we want to lend, but there just aren't enough people who are credit worthy because we don't want to slide back into that situation we had before.
Well, that may well be, but you wonder how they're defining credit worthy. Because right now, based on what I hear, it's becoming very, very difficult to finance a car. And that's the whole lifeblood of the car business. There are endless anecdotes of borrowers who are very sound saying, the bank is telling me I have to repay and they won't roll over my credit because I'm sound and they can get me to pay, but they can't get other people who aren't sound to pay. So the banks claim that they're doing this and claim that they're doing that. I don't know. Sooner or later, it'll work out because it always does. It's just that it's taken a long time and there's been a lot of pain.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
I'm Scott Jagow in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.